I'm just swirling around. My spirit is enjoying the fellowship in the spirit, listening to my brothers and sisters pray. It's music to my ears, as it is, I'm sure, to each one here. It's a balm. It makes me think of that hymn, The Balm of Gilead. I don't know all the words to it, but I've always loved that phrase, the Balm of Gilead. I know it has some reference to Christ and that land that was across the Jordan. And I follow a reading program, reading through the Bible. And in these recent days, I've been reading through Exodus, and particularly these chapters, the ending chapters of Exodus, having to do with the chapters that are most in my mind are from 20 to 40. And in there is contained, you know, you will know chapter 20 is the giving of the Ten Commandments. What we've come to understand is the Ten Commandments. And subsequent to that chapter, he moves into the giving of laws in chapters 21 through 23. And then we read of Moses' altar, the altar that Moses built of the an earthen altar. And there's reference to the Book of the Covenant. And then he returns to the mountain in chapter, that's in 24. And then for five chapters, or is it six chapters, God gives the pattern of the Mosaic program and that whole pattern of worship, the tabernacle and its service. And then there's that unfortunate episode where Moses is gone and the children of Israel break out, and they don't know what's become of Moses. That unfortunate chapter 32, where the and then Moses comes down the mountain, and there's the people's idolatry, and then their punishment. Then comes the command to leave Sinai. Moses has a tent where he meets with the Lord. He intercedes. There's discipline from the Lord in chapter 33. The covenant is then renewed. The Lord declares feasts, and Moses is the mediator in chapter 34. And then for 35 through 39, the contributions are laid out. To collect the materials for the building of the tabernacle, God declares the feasts, or rather, and then there's the constructing of the tabernacle in chapters 35 to 39, and then chapter 40 is devoted to the actual erecting of the tabernacle. And particularly in chapter 39, I came to notice the repetition of this phrase. And I'll point to it here in chapter, perhaps in chapter 40. And the phrase is, as the Lord had commanded. And it is repeated and repeated and repeated every step along the way, as the Lord has commanded, particularly in chapter 39. And This I'm taking a notice of that I haven't in the previous years of my Christian walk. I've been considering this matter of God commanding, and I've thought of it in times in contrast to God promising, and asking the Lord, what are the What are the differences? What is the relationship between God's promising and God commanding? And it also brought to mind a passage in Joshua chapter 5. Any student of Joshua will know, if you're familiar with it, you will recognize there was an encounter between Joshua and a being which is referred to in the passage as the commander of the Lord's army. And it seems to come out of nowhere. They're preparing to go against Jericho, but apparently Joshua needed some final instructions from the Lord. And in this passage in Joshua 5, the narrative goes, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. And he said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And you will know that the matter of the, or I should say, the use of the word translated command, and that which is meant by command, carries forward into the New Testament. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians, and let's read chapter 3 in 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he carries on with a particular matter about some that have been walking in idleness. And so I've been considering what place this commanding has under this new covenant in the Lord. And I have found that as I've reflected on my Christian life, and as I have considered ministry I've received over the years, and also set that beside the scriptures as I ponder the scriptures as I read through, that there is always something of a commanding tone about the scriptures. And I think this has gotten my attention because there are times when I hear brothers and sisters speak of the Lord, how the Lord speaks to them, And at times it almost seems as if it comes in a, or they understand it in a kind of a glib way, almost like God is my buddy. That he is, that he's sort of a, there's something familiar about him. And yet there's something about the Lord that is unique in the sense that he is above. There is something about his exalted nature, of his Godhead, of his majesty and his glory. And I wouldn't diminish at all the notion that we are in Christ, we are of him, we are begotten of him, and that we are, he is our elder brother. And yet at the same time, when God speaks under this new covenant, he still speaks by command. That when he speaks to us, it is not separate from the authority with which he addressed Joshua back there in the Old Covenant. God is a commanding God. He commands. I think there's a scripture from the Psalms that says, he commanded and it stood fast. And I think this is something that's vital to us as Christians to perhaps appreciate. Perhaps we already do, and I may be a late comer to this. For me, it's something of a revelation to consider that even when God speaks a promise to me, there is something very commanding about that promise. When it's not something that he's just recommending. And in this passage here, where Paul says, we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. And further over in the scripture, in verse 10, he says, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. And you can, look in the Greek and see what the Greek word is and so on, and it'll say, he's giving them a charge. He's giving them instruction. And I turn back to 1 Thessalonians to see what some of those things were, because he's referring to commands that he had already given them. And in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he writes, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And the Greek word there for instructions is the same as the one that is translated commandment. And I want to promote this notion of when God speaks to us, we are to understand it as a command. And in no way does that distance us from the tender heart of the Lord, from his kindness, his gentleness. The very fact that God does command us commends his gentleness. It's in a way proof, because he knows so well and so much more profoundly than we do. The thing that he's telling us is so for our benefit and for our eternal welfare, to be commanded by God. And in that chapter four. And what I would like to do is invite us, if we would peruse that chapter four, and then also in chapter five from verse 12 on, if we could just peruse that, and if different ones of us would kindly speak up. And what do you find there that, as Paul said over there in 2 Thessalonians, that he said, and we have confidence of the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. And what are some of those things that God has, or that Paul had commanded, and that he even took upon him the authority in Jesus' name to command? And I know as Americans, we don't, I think there's something about being commanded that because of our democratic way of living and our independent nature, we don't really maybe appreciate this too much. We like to think we have independent agency, and we do as we please. But on the other hand, I think it's very, I don't want to use the word balancing, but it's good to incorporate this into our minds and our spiritual hearts, that I ought to be commanded by God. Or that I receive what he says in a commanding way. As wonderful as the promises are, there's something maybe just a little bit passive when in the manner by which we consider them. But promises even should be understood as commands. And I suppose you could say many of the commands can be understood as promises. But there's a wonderful relationship between the two. So if we could, if you would just peruse chapter four there and see if you can find something where, oh, yes, oh, I see Paul is commanding them. Just take a, you know, couple of seconds here and look through that, and then chapter 5 from verse 12 on, and I'd like to hear what you come up with. He carries on in chapter 5, even be at peace among yourselves. I don't know if you ever think about taking these exhortations as commands, but it's good to think of being personally commanded by God. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, in verse 15. Even rejoice always. Take that as a command. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Apparently these are things that Paul was reminding the Thessalonians of when he was writing this second letter. And, you know, beyond Paul, whereas John had a fair amount to say about the command, Christ commanding and the commandment. Of course, verses will come up from 1 John. He includes some of these nuggets in his gospel in chapter 12 of John, the gospel of John, as he's sitting down with them in the upper room. Toward the end of chapter 12, for I have not spoken on my own authority. Now, authority comes is big in the picture when you think of commandment. When you are in the armed forces, when you receive a command in the armed forces, you are bound by oath to obey that command. And here Christ is saying in verse 49 of chapter 12 of John, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment." So it's a very, this is as spiritual a thing as grace or justification or the blood of Christ, redemption. It's a very, very spiritually significant attribute over the manner in which God communicates with his church. The Father himself has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Now, do you know that? When God commands you, this is a manifestation of eternal life, the Word of God animating us, speaking to us, giving us that nourishment for our spirit and our soul. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. And we want our relationship to be as close with our Lord Jesus as his was with his Father. And over into chapter 13, in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. So, you know, here he is about to be separated from them. And the way to compensate them for his absence is he's commanding them to love one another. Oh, you are in chapter 15, verse 14, "You're my friends if you do what I command you." It's a wonderful thing to receive God's speakings as commands. We like to think of his promises, but I don't know that we think as much or as endearingly of his commands as we do his promises, but they are just as sustaining and are just as vital. There's a very intimate relationship between God commanding and the love of God. It, of course, it's laid out probably in most detail in 1 John. Yeah, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. You know, those commandments, I don't think of those. When I read that in 1 John, I'm not thinking of the Ten Commandments, but of God's moment by moment speaking. And it strongly suggests to me, I'm taught of the Spirit at all, that this is how we're to understand his speaking, that we are to understand his speaking as him commanding us. And that is the kindest, most loving, most faithful, and generous way that he can communicate to us. It's, in a way, it's more his manner of communicating. The things he says come as command, and there's a line in this one of the Wesley hymns. It's one of my favorite hymns. He says, the hymn writer said, "Spirit of meek and godly fear, the children taught of thee revere and do their heavenly Father's will. Pierced with an humble filial awe, they love to keep his blessed law and all his kind commands fulfill." I always found that's him as one of those hymns, you know, him will find a special place in your heart. But that verse has always found a special place. And, you know, he says further on in this letter, his commandments are not burdensome. There isn't anything burdensome when God commands. And praise God for his authority. Of course, in the word authority is that word author. And he is the author of life. Therefore, he has authority. He is the author of our salvation, our redemption, Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, command me. Amen. What a joy to live by. Amen, brother. Well, that's what's on my heart. Lord, I have a sense of privilege to be in fellowship with the Church of Jesus Christ, souls who are hungry for you, thirsty, who have placed everything else in their lives behind you. You are in front, Lord. Thank you for the hunger and thirsting, because there's a humility there, as our sister said. There's something very attractive about the humble souls that are hungry and who know we need the physician. So, Lord, you have been that. You come into the midst and you shed the fragrance of your presence. You graciously stroll among the lilies. We're the lilies. And it's a pleasant fragrance. Whether we think we are or not, Lord, you are deeply attracted to something in us. And something that you've planted there. And by a miracle, we sprouted and grew up, and we just want you, Lord. We're hungry. Lord, so speak, continue to speak.
Hallelujah.
Be that one who commands us, and we have a listening ear, and we hear you, Lord. Thank you for the sound of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It's gentleness. It's strength. It's authority. And we're in good hands with you, Lord. And we can look forward with good cheer to our evening and our tomorrows. Thank you, Father. Ask you to bless each and every household. Oh, Savior.
Amen, Lord.
Tomorrow is Sunday. Saints will be meeting together, Lord. We ask for your blessing, your presence.